You know, the writer of Hebrews said, we're to lay aside these things. Talked about weights and sins. We're to lay aside. It says, lay them aside. And he wouldn't have told us to lay them aside if we didn't have the power to do so. If we can't lay these things aside, it's either because we don't want to lay them aside or because we're spiritually bound by them and we need deliverance. Now, if it's a case that we really don't want to lay them down, then, like I said, we better get desperate before God and ask him to give us a desire to lay them down. You know, the reason so few people ever get free is because they aren't desperate. And the reason they never get desperate is because they're in false security. They say, I want to get free. I know I should get free. But if I don't get free, I'll be saved anyway. Okay? And so if it's a case we don't really want to get something, let something go, then you got to get desperate for the Lord and say, God, you see my situation. I love this thing. I don't even want to let it go. Give me the desire. Give me a hatred for it. Give me a hatred so I want to get free from it. And that's when God starts to move on the people. Now, if you're bound by something, if it's a spiritual bondage, then you need some kind of prayer. You pray. You don't have to go to deliverance ministry, quote. You know, just recognize it's a spiritual bondage and start praying against it in that way. Or if you don't have the faith, you don't understand it, then you can get somebody else to help you pray, whatever. But this thing where it'll be okay. You know, none of us are perfect. We all have problems. That's not going to cut it. Let me put it this way. The main thing, the best thing, the best way is to serve God out of love. Is to lay all these things down out of love. Not out of legalism, not out of fear. But the fact is the reality is, there's times when our love for ourselves or our love for the things that we're bondage to or we love that aren't of God, that love is greater for those things than is our love for God. And this is when we need to have the fear of God in our lives. You know, this is when it must be clearly emphasized that, hey, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If it's not, we're going to continue in these sins, continue under these weights until we die, and there's a good possibility we might miss the kingdom of God. And people don't believe that, or there would be a fear there. And the number of people who are walking in false security right now is incredible. I mean, it's just scary. Very, very scary. And I don't want to see anybody that I'm involved with, or anybody in this room, anybody reads my writings, anybody comes to the website, I don't want to see anybody I have any influence over get caught up in that and possibly end up in a place that they don't want to be in the end. Now, the question was, what's the difference between a person who practices one of these sins, or weight or whatever, and one who struggles with it? The difference is a heart attitude, and only that God knows. See, I can look at somebody who's caught in something that I know is not God, and I can't judge that unless God gives me light on it, unless God shows me the guy's heart or the person's heart. Otherwise, I just got to sit back and say, Lord, you know what's going on there. You know, I can't say anything. I don't know. But God does show you people's heart if you ask him. If he wants to use you to help somebody, oftentimes he does show you their heart. But the point is, God knows heart. He knows whether that thing is a bondage and you want to get free, or whether you've got a lackadaisical attitude that's coming from false security. There's a difference, and God knows it. Only God knows the difference. We don't always know the difference unless he shows us. Now, he believes does show us on occasion. It's not like we never know, but only God has to show us that. But it's the attitude of the heart. And see, what happens is this false security, these doctrines, this eternal security, and all the other things that produce false security get into our heart. They get in our mind. They get in our subconscious, and they start working. They start working on us without our realizing it. And they start producing stuff in us without our realizing it. And pretty soon, we're walking in that, and we don't know it. And the edge is off. The edge is taken off of the seriousness of the thing we're dealing with. And we think, you know, well, we're saved by grace, not by works. You know, I can't save myself, and I can't keep myself saved, and blah, blah, blah. And on and on it goes. All the confusion has been injected in God's people's minds because this false grace thing has clouded the whole issue. And they read these things Apostle Paul says about fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God, and thieves will not. They think, what? He must be talking about the unsaved people. He can't be talking about Christians. You know, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, I'm righteous by the blood of Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That doesn't count. When Paul said the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, he's talking about how we live. If you live unrighteously, you're not going to get into the kingdom. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of faith you have. You can confess Jesus all day. You can believe the Bible all you want. That's not talking about imputed righteousness. If everybody gets in the kingdom based on Jesus' imputed righteousness, there's no warnings necessary. Nobody will be lost. Eternal security is true. Okay? He's not talking about imputed righteousness. He's saying if you don't live a righteous life, I'm not talking about perfection now. I'm talking about righteousness. The difference is, what's your attitude? What's my attitude? What am I going for? There's another reason why they end up in this condition. And that is this. There's basically two kinds of Christians. There's a kind of Christian who comes to God and he want to get as much as I can from God. And there's a kind of Christian who comes to God and he want to give as much as they can to God. Give as much of their life as they can. And the person who comes to God to get as much as they can, whether it's natural things, whether it's relationships, even spiritual things, maybe ministry or something else. You know, it could be something spiritual. It's not relegated just to natural. If your attitude towards the Lord is, I want to get this, I want to get that, I want to get the other, and give me this God, give me that God, give me this God. If that's your attitude, many times that leads to a life of defeat. That itself leads to a life of defeat because the whole orientation of Christianity is upside down. Most of the people who are walking in victory, they come to God and say, I want to give as much as my life as I can to God. I want to give as much as I can. I want God to use me as much as he can. I only have one life to give. There's only one life on this earth. I only have one chance to get conformed to the image of Jesus. I only have one chance to store up fruit in the kingdom for the Lord, my life, you know, to affect others. I only have one life. I want to put it at God's disposal as much as possible so he can use me as much as possible to get as much fruit out of my life as he can. And it's those kind of people who start getting victory over all these weights and stuff because they're not living a selfish life. You can be very religious and very selfish at the same time. Selfish religion is what it's all about right now, as a matter of fact. It's when you get out of that selfish thing and you're not saying, oh, God, I need a new car. God, I need a job. I mean, it's not okay to pray to God for these things. God knows our needs. It's not like you shouldn't pray for a job or money or whatever. But I mean, that can't be the focus. When we get out of that thing and say, God, I want to lay down my life. I want to be spent for the kingdom. I want to be spent for the kingdom. I don't care where you want to send me. I don't care what kind of relationships you want me in. I don't care how I got to live, whether I got to live in a mud hut, whether I got to live. It don't matter. I want to be spent for the kingdom. I want my life to count for your kingdom. I want fruit in the kingdom when I'm dead. When I leave this earth, get in the kingdom, and I want to find fruit there. I don't want to find out I was just a religious, selfish Christian, and even though I made it to the kingdom, there's nothing there for me. So that those two kinds of different Christians produce two kinds of life. One's a life of victory, and one's a life of defeat. That's another thing, another part of the equation that had to be put in there. And all these things that Paul are talking about, you know, envy and strife and malice and the wickedness and the fornication, I'm telling you, that's things Christians should not be dealing with anymore. I mean, a maturing Christian should be past all that stuff. You know, the point is, you all know this, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, right? And so we should be getting light every day on areas of our life that are not like Christ. And I'm not talking about big areas like smoking and drinking and beating your wife and flipping out and losing your temper every time something goes your way, a cursing. I mean, these things are for the realm of carnal Christians, carnal baby Christians. Maturing saints shouldn't have a problem with these things. If you got a problem with all those things, there's a problem. You're a baby Christian, you're not walking in the new man. You're not walking in the new man, you're not walking in the Spirit. There's a lot of things that God will show us every day by ourselves. And not these big, horrible sins that are listed in the Scripture. There's just little things. Just little things that God wants to show us and keep on purging us and purging us and purging us. Man, people are stuck down on the first ground level, man. There's an elevator going up to the 50th floor. So many people are stuck at the first floor even. They can't get off the first floor. You know, they're still down here with drinking and smoking and gambling and whatever else it is, you know. And God's got so many things we got to deliver from, but, you know, we can't get off the first floor even to get to those more subtle things that, you know, we need to come forth in the image of Christ. And I'll tell you, there's a people out there somewhere that are coming forth in the image of Christ and letting God show them little tiny things that aren't even probably mentioned in Scripture. None of those big sins are mentioned in Scripture. None of that flesh stuff is mentioned in Scripture, little things. I was very blessed and challenged the other day. We went to another Zach Poonen meeting. Anybody here know Zach Poonen? He's a preacher from India. Okay, it's a couple of you do. Okay, well, Zach Poonen comes to this area twice a year. He comes to a school once, and then the church that sponsors him, they have him in the school once, they have him in the church once. So we went to, the other month, we went to the one that was at the school, and he's back at the church this time. Went to one of his meetings yesterday, two of his meetings. And he had a real good word about the Lord giving us light on ourselves. You know, and I was convicted of some things that I didn't see about myself, even, you know. And there's no really scripture I can even point you to what the conviction of what I'm dealing with, you know, I saw yesterday came from. It's just, there's so many things that God needs to purge out of us and deal with us. And it's a shame that so many people are stuck on these major issues. It just shows that either they're in bondage or they're not walking in the new man. They have no desire to walk in the new man the way they should. And for those kind of people, they don't need to hear, hey, God loves you, and, you know, just hang on until God delivers you. They need to hear, hey, you who do such things will not enter the kingdom. You better get free. You better get delivered. You better get serious with God. So Purim says she heard him. Yeah. He's a very good brother. Very humble brother. Has a very good word on death to self and following the Lord. And I was challenged. I was very challenged and blessed by his word. And I'm just thinking, I come away from that meeting and I'm thinking, look, it's a shame that so many people are fighting such major sins when there's so many subtle things that we got to go on to get purged and clean from. You know, it's just crazy. I just wanted to share that little bit with you, that false security is a bad, bad thing. And it works in people's lives many times without our realizing it. And when we're caught in something, if we don't have the desire to get free, we need to go to God and be desperate to get the desire to be free. A lot of the people we've worked with over the years, they couldn't get delivered until they got desperate. And once they got desperate from something, they started reaching God. They started reaching deliverance. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're a half-hearted seeker, you're going to get half-hearted results. If you're a half-hearted Christian, you're going to get half-hearted victory. That's all there is to it. God wants 100%. If you'll give God 100%, he'll give you 100% victory. You know? But see, people don't love the truth. They don't want to see the truth about themselves. And they want to point the finger at everybody else whenever God starts coming and showing them things. So that's one of the things old Zach was talking about. He said, I love the truth. You've got to love the truth about yourself, about your own condition. So when God comes and starts speaking to your conscience or starts showing you something, your first reaction is to point somewhere else or justify yourself or justify myself. Or, you know, the first reaction is, oh, God, deliver me. Give me desire to be delivered if I don't have that desire. And it's a high calling to go into perfection. It's a high calling to be conformed to the sinless, righteous, holy image of Jesus Christ. Anybody that's received that call, you know, you got to be serious about it. Now, I don't think I'm preaching legalism. If anybody think I'm preaching legalism, you go ahead and tell me. You can go ahead and challenge me and tell me. But I don't think I'm preaching legalism. I think I'm preaching what Paul preached. There's a time for encouraging people and saying, look, get a new man. Look, walk in the Spirit. There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. But when somebody don't want to let go of their sin or the weight or the flesh, then you got to warn them and say, hey, God's not going to tolerate that. You ain't going to get to the kingdom. You better want to get free, because if you want to get free bad enough, God will free you. And if you need deliverance and you don't know how to get deliverance, God will send somebody to deliver you. You know, God knows the heart. He works with us according to our heart. And if we're playing games, we're not going to make it. I fear for people who play games with the message of the high calling, because that's not the same thing as a little baby Christian playing games. But anyway, it's a hard thing to keep a balance between false security and legalism. You don't want to get in legalism and doing things yourself in your own strength, but we got to be sober and serious and have the weight of the call and the weight of the things of God on us, so we're not slacking and slouching and coasting and all that kind of stuff. Because people are coasting right now are getting taken over. They're really getting taken over. Amen? So anybody have anything like to add or share or whatever? Rich and Judy, Rich says, therefore having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves, amen, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Okay. I was reading what y'all are saying here. Gary says, I do, but it would take too long. Well, we got plenty of time, Gary. If you want to speak, go right ahead. I'll give you the mic. I got plenty of time. Go ahead. I'll release the mic. You go ahead and try and talk, brother. Don't worry about the time. Okay, go ahead. Do you want to type it in? On the subject of those who went to Bentley's meetings, don't you think so many of our brethren are being led astray because they refuse to read the word? Yes. I'll tell you why another reason they're being led astray. And actually, I thought this when I was with Zach yesterday. You know, Zach got up and he didn't mention that Florida thing by name. But he talked about signs and wonders and everybody going after signs and wonders. And he said he's not surprised that preachers and teachers are involved in this thing. He's surprised that so many Christians are so gullible that they're falling for it. That's what shocks him. He's not surprised there's false prophets and false apostles and deceivers in the end days. He went through Thessalonians, where it talks about the Antichrist is going to come with all power, you know, Satan's power and all that. He was surprised that so many Christians are being deceived. And when he said that, I kind of got a little irritated, not at him. You see, because for up until the Reformation, you got 1,300 years or so of Christians who were enslaved to the religious system. After the Reformation, you come out in the Protestant system is not much better than the Catholic system as far as the system itself. The doctrines are different, but the actual system isn't that much different. There's a clergy, there's a laity. And my feeling is the laity has been beat down into a permanent state of submission to the clergy. The laity, the common man, has been taught for 500 years or more. You don't question the preacher. You don't question the priest. The priest knows the word of God. The priest has a direct line to God. The preacher knows God. The you can't see for yourself. You need the priest to keep you out of deception. In the Protestant Reformation, that changed from you need the preacher to keep you out of deception. So for 500 years, the laity has become the virtual slave of the clergy. And they've been told, don't touch God's anointed. Don't judge my sermons. You don't mess with me. I'm God's anointed. I've been raised up to teach you the word. Okay, and I've been raised up to protect you from deception. You listen to me. Okay, now on top of that, you have the false doctrines like the Great Revival. They've been taught for hundreds of years there'll be a great revival at the end of the age by these leaders. The greasy grace. They've been taught once you're saved, you can't fall away. The Christian can't have a demon. They've been taught if you're a Christian, you can't be in bondage to any kind of spirit. You can't have a kind of spirit working life. They've been taught, you know, heaven's the goal. And all these kind of things. So on top of being in bondage and slaves to the clergy has taught them all these false concepts, giving a false Christian mindset. Now, at the end of the age, when it's all coming down, when it's going to hit the fan, and the devil's been given all this power, and everywhere you look is false prophets, now the laity, they're being picked off everywhere they go. And everybody says, look at those stupid Christians. How come those Christians are so stupid? They don't read the Word of God. Well, I don't know if they don't read the Word of God ever. It's that they've been taught the Word of God says something that it doesn't say. You read 1 Thessalonians to the regular Christian, when it talks about there's going to be a great falling away, and you know what they read? They don't read there's going to be a great falling away before the Antichrist comes. They read there's going to be a great catching away before the Antichrist comes. You read the rapture passages. All the Christians that believe in the rapture, they read that verse, and they do not see what it says. They don't see it says there'll be a great falling away before the Antichrist is manifested. What they see is what they've been taught for 200 years, which is there'll be a great catching away. Now, the word's there. It says there'll be a falling away, but they've been taught from the pulpit every Sunday it's going to be a catching away. It's going to reveal the Antichrist. And that's the kind of thing that has been going on year after year after year, century after century. Okay, so the laity has been beat into a permanent state of submission. Now, they're going to be culpable for it. I'm not saying it's all clergy, and the laity is not going to be responsible for it. We all have a Bible, right? We all have a Bible, and we can go home and say, look it up and say, well, is this guy preaching the right doctrine or not? But there's a lot of pressure on you to not do that when you're in that system. That's why the system is so evil. Not the people in the system necessarily, maybe not the preachers. I'm not saying everybody in the system, or that every preacher is evil and has evil intentions. The system itself is evil. And the system itself has set people up, as well as the doctrines in the system, have set people up to be deceived in these last days. Okay? Especially when they accuse you of having a critical spirit. Amen. You know how many times you've been told, don't question the preacher. You question his doctrine, hey, you're rebellion. You're touching God's anointing. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, Harold or Judy, go right ahead.
Just want to check, make sure you can hear me. Good. Dan, what you were sharing, the Lord really showed me something this week regarding how we've been preconditioned by the teachings that we've come out from under. And even to the point where we've been dumbed down concerning what God wants to do in our lives. And I was reading an account that talked about Jesus saying he's the good shepherd and we're his sheep. And for years we've been told from pastorates and other types of teaching that we are just dumb sheep. Dumb. And the account that I was reading showed us that Jesus didn't talk to us as dumb sheep. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. And that was so profound. There's so many voices out there that we've listened to. So many voices that have spoken lies and deceptions and untruths. And here's the one that cares about us, the one that loves us, and he's the one that created us. He's the one that created sheep with such an acute sense of hearing that they could hear the voice of the good shepherd amongst the bleating of all the other sheeps, the other shepherds, all the commotion that's going around. A sheep knows the voice of his shepherd. And that was so profound that we have been under such a cloak of deception, and that's what you're uncovering tonight. What you're saying is we've been preconditioned to failure. And where does that come from? That comes right out of the pit of hell. And the failure that we're experiencing is the fact that we don't hear the voice, the right voice, the voice of the one who created us to hear him clearly. And as you know from your being with me, how screwed up I've been on my Christian walk. And so I just am so amazed. I'm speechless. You know, I keep saying I'd like to talk, but I really need, I've had to sit back and listen and to be retaught, because I have listened to the wrong voice for so long. And it's time that we hear the voice of the one who loves us, who created us. He gave us the ability to hear him clearly, where we're no longer confused in our relationship with him, in our relationship in the world, and our relationship in our own flesh. And so I'm just so thankful to hear this message tonight. And I'm done. God bless you. We love you, Dan. Thanks.
Amen. Thanks, Darrell. I'm glad you finally talked. God bless you. We all can hear the shepherd. That's like about Steve. Steve's always said, hey, if you've got the Spirit of God in you, you need to no man teach you. That's a good word. Get on again whenever you want to. You got some good word in you. I know that. Okay. Anybody else have anything you'd like to share? Anybody else want to try it? Step right up. Don't be shy.